her mama's child, right? Amen. That's all right. They're back there, right? Amen. We started out talking last week where we read the scripture where it says that Jesus loved them till the end. He said that prior to girding himself with a towel, washing their feet, feeding them the bread and the wine, prior to the Garden of Gethsemane, prior to the cross, prior to the resurrection. Amen? He loved them to the end. He did not distinguish between the disciples. He washed the feet of everyone. Everyone in that crew. Some would deny him, some would doubt him, some would betray him. But before they were ever able to do that, Jesus washed their feet and filled their bellies with the bread of his body and his blood that was to be shed for them. Do you know that before you had opportunity to betray him, that Jesus was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world? That even when, the scripture says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ, what, died for us. So how many know he did the same thing for you and I that he did for the disciples on that night before the Garden of Gethsemane and before the betrayal and before the events of that weekend? Jesus took a towel, washed their feet, loved on them, fed them, and then instructed them and spoke to them of the things that they would encounter and that the power of the Holy Spirit would come to be a comforter to them. How many are thankful this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It is the infilling power of his presence of the Holy Spirit that is that voice in your ear. It's that voice in your heart that can speak peace, that can speak direction, that can speak conviction, and convincing you of your righteousness. Amen? How many have ever heard that still small voice that said, don't go there? Amen. Don't do that. It's not profitable. Don't stop there. Or that same small voice that said, I got you. Peace. Be still. Peace in the midst of chaos. May Jesus come walking on the shore that day. The disciples were afraid. They did not recognize him in the storm. And I would dare say this morning that most of the time that when we are going through struggles or chaos, we sometimes do not recognize the master in the middle of it. Am I the only one? We sometimes have questions, why, Lord, this? How does this happen? You know, and we question things a lot instead of looking for Jesus in the midst of it. And when he begins to speak, how many know things change, things shift? And he would begin to see, he would say to the disciples, peace, be still, be not afraid. It is I. I am right here in the middle of the storm. I got you. You know, and I feel like this, that so many times when I read this story, and we talked about the fishermen last week, and we talked about Peter, so many times I feel like Peter, you know, Jesus had to look at Peter and remind him, Peter, I got you. I really think that when Jesus turned and looked at Peter after the cock crowed and after he had denied him three times, the scripture said he turned and looked at Peter, but Peter went away sorrowful. And I really think what Jesus said to Peter is, Peter, I got you. Hang on, Peter. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Remember what I told you. So oftentimes we need to be reminded of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and know that he's got me. He's got you today, wherever you are. So last week we talked about the scripture of the nets and when Jesus was preaching on the shore. And he saw the disciples in their boat. They had fished all night, and they caught no fishes, and they were in on the shore mending and cleaning their nets, the scripture says. And Jesus had drawn quite a crowd on the shore, and while he was on the shore and he was trying to preach to the crowd, he saw the fishermen in their boat, and he said to them, he got into the boat and he said, go out a little bit from the shore. And they went out a little bit from the shore, and the scripture says that from the boat that he preached, another translation says, and using their boat for a pulpit, he began to preach or minister to the crowd. So we talked about that a little bit, what it means last week. We said your sphere of influence, what is in your hand, your talents are and abilities, Jesus will use that as a pulpit to reach out to the multitude to tell them of the love of Jesus. Amen? Rather that be in your profession, rather it be behind a shovel, rather it be behind an iPad, a computer, a typewriter, a pencil, a nursing cap, a doctor's crown, a dentist chair, carpet, whatever it is that you do, do you know that is the sphere of influence that God can use as a pulpit to reach people? I dare say that my dad probably reached as many people on the bench in the park in Berkeley Springs or the bench at Walmart in Winchester as he did preaching to a congregation. Because wherever he was, that was his pulpit. He did not miss an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus and to tell his testimony of what God had done for him. I heard something as I was driving in this morning, I guess it was, and it said, you know, we all don't always know how to witness. We don't know how to go out about it. But the guys this morning said, just tell your story. Just tell him what he's done for you. Just tell him what he means to you. Just tell him where you've been, what you've done, how you've encountered Jesus. How many can say you're better today for knowing Jesus and have the power of God in your life and in your family? That's your story. That's your greatest testimony. I am who I am, what? By the grace of God. He has brought us to this place. And we could all go around this room and say where we've come from, where we've been, and the things that God has done in our life. That is sometimes the most powerful thing about you is just your story. And your story doesn't have to be anything great. It doesn't have to be some great deliverance. It doesn't have to be, you know, a great a story of magnificent tales. It can just be the simplicity of the love of God and the power of God in your life. Amen. And so when he got done preaching from the boat, he says to them, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter says, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we've caught no fish. We have fished all night, and we caught no fish. Nevertheless, at your command, we will let down the nets for a catch. Now, I shared last week that I had heard something to the effect that a lot of times the reason that the disciples, there's a lot of things that I've been reading about this, but two things I want to share with you today. The reason that the disciples fished at night is because for one reason, the kind of fish that they caught were attracted to the lanterns that would hang on the side of the boat. And so that when the fish would see the bugs around the lanterns, they would come up close and they would come after the bugs, and then they would be drawn in and they would catch them with a casting net and they would draw them into the boat. Another thing that I read also said that their nets were made of linen and that it was it made it easier for to see or not to see, I guess for them to see, but the fish not to see, to bring the nets in. And I love the fact that the net was made of linen. And we talked last week about the treasure hid in the field, that we are the net, we are the pearl, we are the you know, the when a man finds a treasure, we are the pearl of great price, and we are the net. How many know when the kingdom comes in you, you realize your value in Christ? Amen? We realize that we are the net. How many know we are the one that brings in fish? We are the one that catches fish. Jesus said to the disciples, I will make you what? Fishers of men. That command is still to us. Amen. How do we win souls to Jesus? We invite them to come. We tell our story. We become a net where we can draw them into the presence of Jesus. But I love how the Message Bible says this interpretation. When Peter sees that when they throw in, they get the great haul of fish, it says that they waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. To me, when I think about other boats, I think about other ministries that are in this together. How many know we are not in competition with anybody, but we are a part of the ministry of catching fish, and there's enough for every boat. But he calls to the other boats, and he tells them to come in, and they got a huge haul of fish, straining the nets to capacity. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Master, leave. I am a sinner, and I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself. When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon, everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, there's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women. They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. I love Peter's response to Jesus' miracles. His response was humility. And probably conviction. He said, Master, leave. I can't handle all this holiness. How many know he knows he's in the presence of the Messiah? He knows he's in the presence of greatness. He knows that Jesus is very present. And in light of that, he doesn't feel worthy to be in his presence. But how many know Jesus begins to speak to him and said, don't be afraid, Peter. I got plans for you. You're called. You're chosen. You're appointed, and I am calling you because you're exactly what I need. How many know God doesn't call the qualified always? He qualifies those whom he calls. What he needs the most out of you is obedience and a willing heart. When we are obedient and we're willing to follow the Master, when he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he will bring in the harvest if we'll be willing participants in what he's doing. Amen? So last week we said that he was, that they would use a casting net. Does anybody remember what kind of fish is mostly caught in a casting net? Tilapia and the surface fish. But Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. Where does a dragnet go? It goes deep. It says, or God's kingdom is like a fishnet or a dragnet cast into the sea, catching all kinds of fish. When it is full, it is hauled onto the beach. The good fish are packed out with and put in a tub. Those unfit to eat are thrown away. That's how it will be when the curtain comes down on history. How many know Jesus was talking about going to the, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. It would go all the way to the bottom. If you know under Jewish culture, they were not to eat those things that were in the bottom feeders. They didn't eat catfish. They didn't eat seafood. They didn't eat oysters that had pearls in them. Now, I mean, Jesus is not just talking about catching surface fish. He's talking about a net that is inclusive of whosoever will. The scripture says, if whosoever will believeth in him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Galatians 3, I believe it is, says, for it is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. How many know what Jesus came to do was to fulfill the law of the old covenant that was exclusive and to introduce the law of the new covenant, which was inclusive, that the whosoever will may come. We all can say thank you, Jesus, that we're here today because we fall in the category of Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. How many know we are all one in Christ Jesus? We now have access to the same grace, to the same liberty as the Jew did in the time of Jesus. And so we see that Jesus speaks about that. I want to go to the scripture in John. Go ahead and bring up John. Is it John 21? I give you that. John chapter 21. We find that Jesus called the disciples. Here we go. And they were in a fishing boat, right? When he calls them, he says they had fished all night. They had served and worked and labored, and it had produced nothing. But at the sound of his voice, when Jesus speaks, they cast their net, and a great haul of fish come in. He says to Peter, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And for about 3 to 3.5 years, they went through the Bible school with the greatest rabbi of all time, right? Jesus taught them on the shore. He taught them in the secret place. He taught them in the multitudes. He taught them on the boat. He taught them everywhere. And so they would go. He warned them even before the crucifixion, "I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter." And he warned them, "You're going to deny me. Things are going to happen, but don't let your heart be troubled. Hang on, guys." He meets with them on the road to Emmaus. He goes back to the house with them. Their eyes are open in the breaking of the bread. He meets with them on the shore. And we find in John chapter 21, the scripture where they once again are going fishing. It says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. He did it in this way: Simon Peter and Thomas, also called Didymus, the twin, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, as well as John and James, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said, 'And we are coming with you.' So they went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. As morning was breaking, Jesus came out and stood on the beach. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, do you have any fish to eat along with your bread?' They answered, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, starboard side, and you will find some.' So they cast the net, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great catch of fish. Then that disciple John, who Jesus loved, esteemed, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer tunic, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea and swam ashore. But the other disciples came in the small boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the beach, they saw a charcoal fire set up and fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net to land full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew without any doubt that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples." So once again, we find after the resurrection that Jesus appears to the disciples out on the boat, out on the shore, on the lake of Gennesaret, out on Galilee, and he finds out that they have gone fishing, but they have caught no fish. And I love this analogy, because so many times I feel like that Peter and John, the Lord had only been seen 3 times since the resurrection. And what we do sometimes in the gap or the space when we're not sure where to go from here to there. Amen. So many times we go back to what is comfortable or what we once knew. The disciples, not knowing where their journey was going to go from this point on, what do? We go back to what we know or what is comfortable when what Jesus wants to do is take us to a whole different level. How many know the person that Jesus has lunch with on the shore that day is not the same person that stands up on the day of Pentecost and full of the Holy Ghost and preaches to 3,000 souls, and when he does, they are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so revival and reformation breaks out all over in Jerusalem because some men decided to hear the voice of the Master and to respond. Now, I love the fact that Jesus, you know, we see in this picture that Jesus says to them, when he's sitting with them on the shore, Peter, do you love me? And he asked Peter three times, do you love me? Peter denied him three times. So he gives him three opportunities to repent. We know all of that. Also, he gives different kinds of love. There's phileo love, agape love. Ask all of those things. But one of the things I want to talk about today is I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God to forgive. Amen? No matter where I'm at or how many times, God is faithful to meet me where I am. Peter, do you love me? And if you love me, there is a response. How many believe that? If you truly love God, there is a response to serve and to feed and to care for the sheep. But one of the things he says to Peter, they start asking, what'll become of this one? What'll become of that one? He says to Peter, Peter, when you are old, another one will carry you about, and they will decide whithersoever you go. It's thought that it's probably talking about the type of death that Peter would die. But what I love about this scripture, it says, Peter, when you are old. Because there would come a time when Peter would be thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. Yeah. That he would be so bold and so brave to preach the gospel that he didn't even care that he was thrown in jail. He didn't care that they were beaten. He didn't care that they were mocked. How many know there's a change that happens when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you fall radically in love with Jesus? How many know Peter is a different man after the day of Pentecost? There's something about being endued with power from on high that makes you stand up in a crowd of 3,000 people and say, men and brethren, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was poured out by the prophet Joel. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. How many know he began to speak things in a boldness and a reality of the gospel? And it got him thrown in jail. I mean, no, Peter hid out and denied the Lord because he was afraid of being arrested, right? But there would come a time after the power of the Holy Spirit that he would sit in a cell. And the scripture says that while he's sitting in the cell and he's locked up with quadrants of soldiers and he's in the inner prison and he's sitting in there, and the scripture said, and he's asleep. Amen. Who sleeps in jail when you don't know what tomorrow brings, right? Somebody full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody who's got a promise from the Messiah that says, Peter, when you're old, someone will carry you. Somebody in here say, I'm not old. I'm not done yet. I'm not old. He said, when you're old, somebody will carry you. The whole reason I think Peter falls asleep, he's like, I'm not old yet. I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet. And if I am, God's got me. But how many know he wasn't afraid of judicials? He wasn't afraid of the leaders of the day because he stood up in boldness and said, this Jesus whom you crucified, he's alive and well. I have seen him. I have eaten with him. I have sat with him. He is alive and well. And I love that Jesus speaks that to Peter. When you're old, you're going to be carried about. But you're not old yet, Peter. How many know God can give us a promise and it might seem like it delay and things might get thrown into path and you say, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that happening. I didn't know that was going to happen. But living out of the Spirit of God in us helps us to navigate in times of chaos. Amen? That we're not shaken, that we're not cast down, that we're not cast away. A cast down speaks to a sheep that's laying off on his back with all fours of his legs sticking up in the air. It's the original help. I've fallen and I can't get up. That they can't get up by themselves. They're buoyant. And all that, especially if they're laden down with fur. The master's got to get a hold of them and pull them up. Has he ever had to jerk you up? Anybody in here, he ever had to jerk you up a little bit, had to pull you up, get you back up on your feet a little bit, get the blood flowing to you? Because we can get cast down sometimes. And so he says to them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. How many know what he's causing Peter to do is to look at the new covenant side of the ship. And when he begins to bring in the fish and he begins to catch them, we were sharing at lunch last week that quite possibly the 153 number could mean 153 nations of people. But how many know Jesus said, I want you to go to every nation and preach the gospel? What, Lord? Not just Jerusalem? Not just Israel? You mean preach to everybody? How many are thankful that you're the whosoever will? That all you have to do is come, that all you have to do is believe, all you have to do is receive the gospel, receive the power of the Holy Spirit into your life, hallelujah, and you become part of the kingdom of God. You are a seed of Abraham, not by birth, but by faith in Jesus through the new covenant, amen? And then Jesus would show Peter the understanding of what new covenant fishing would look like. Remember we said that under the Jewish culture, you would not eat anything that was unclean. You didn't eat anything that was kosher. You didn't eat at a Gentile's house. You did not, if you had a Gentile come and eat at your house, they ate on different plates than you ate out of. They had different ways of worshiping them. They have different cultures, different customs, different traditions of men. And was considered when Jesus would bring the disciples and they said, why does your disciples, why don't they wash their hands? Why do they eat with unwashed hands? And he's talking about why didn't they ceremonially cleanse themselves before they came in and eat? And they were constantly challenging Jesus because most of his miracles were done on the Sabbath. Like Jesus, the creator of all time, didn't know what day of the week it was. What's he trying to say to him? Man was not created for the Sabbath. Sabbath was created for man. But in the new covenant, he tells us that he is our Sabbath rest, that we enter into rest through Jesus Christ, that it's not about a calendar and the day of the week. It's about a rest that we can have in the finished work of the cross, knowing that Jesus has completed and finished the work at Calvary, and we as believers walk into what he has already opened for us and live in the new covenant side of the boat. Amen? So he takes Peter after the day of Pentecost, and Peter is preaching to the multitudes. He stands up on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people. The scripture says 3,000 souls are saved. How many know that's a pretty good revival? That's a pretty successful meeting when 3,000 souls are saved. And he begins to preach the gospel. He's preaching, he goes to the Gate Beautiful. How many know there's a man at Gate Beautiful and he's begging alms and he's sitting at the gate and he's begging for anything that they can give to him. And Peter and John look at him and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what does Peter have? The power of the Holy Spirit. Such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. How many know you'd think people would celebrate you for that? How many know they sought to destroy him and silence him? That's why he gets thrown in jail, because he performs miracles in the name of Jesus. So he's in, go ahead and bring up Acts chapter 10. Remember that we're talking about the dragnet. That up to this point, the kingdom, everybody thought about it like a casting net, catching the clean fish, prime fish. Jesus said the kingdom's like a dragnet. It's for the whosoever will. And then he demonstrates to Peter, who was a good Jewish boy, exactly what that looks like. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of a day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before me. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, thou call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned by God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them and certain brethren and accompanied them from Joppa, accompanied them on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinmen and his community and his friends and his family. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common nor unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent me. And so he begins to tell them that he comes down to the house of Cornelius. He said, You know it's not lawful for me to be here. That the Jew was not even lawful to go into the house of a Gentile or an unbeliever. And so he comes down to the house of Cornelius, and he said, I had a vision. Cornelius said, I had a vision that God was going to send me to you. And he said, We want to hear about Jesus. We want to know what is going on. We want to know about this power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know what kind of revival is breaking out everywhere. tell us about Jesus. And the scripture says, as Peter began to open his mouth and he began to share with them the things that had happened in Jerusalem and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the miracles and all of those kind of things. And as he began to preach Jesus, the scripture said the Holy Ghost fell on the house of Cornelius, on his community, and as he preached Jesus, the Holy Ghost fell. They were saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost because somebody stepped outside of boundaries, stepped outside of barriers, and decided to use a dragnet instead of a casting net, and decided not to call anybody unfit for the kingdom, and began to draw in all those, the whosoever will, all that were invited were sent to come. And Peter is shocked because he said, now we're going to have to baptize them. They've done God's saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we hadn't even baptized them yet. How many know God doesn't stick with our formulas? We normally say saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we got a program on how to do it. How many know you can get it all at one time if you want it? He said, let's baptize them. They got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. How? At the preaching of Jesus. It doesn't even say that Peter laid hands on them. It said when they began to hear the message of the good news of the gospel, lives were changed. When we stopped picking and choosing on who can come, who can be saved, and who can have Jesus to the fulfillment of his desire. And so he goes back to the Jewish council. And the Jewish council says, what are you doing in the presence of these Gentiles? And what are you doing? What is this we're hearing? And what is this we're hearing about them getting filled with the Holy Ghost? And what is happening down at the house of Cornelius? Peter simply says to the Jewish council, I preached Jesus, and the Holy Ghost fell. I submit to you today, if we just preach the message of Jesus, that he is powerful enough, strong enough to do the work in us. Preach Jesus to your house. Preach Jesus to your kids. Preach Jesus to your community. Preach Jesus to your spouse. Preach Jesus everywhere you go, and let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost does best, and it will lead and guide them into all truth. Amen. That's the power of the new covenant. That's the power of the new kingdom. I mean, Peter had only ever fished with a casting net before, but Jesus on the roof of the house of Simon the Tanner says, I'm going to show you what the dragnet looks like. And on it, there's every kind of creature. Don't you disqualify anybody. Don't you disallow anybody. You just preach the gospel and watch the gospel bring souls. Hallelujah. How do we bring people to our churches? How do we bring people to the knowledge of Jesus? We preach the gospel, and you use words if necessary. Amen. Preach the gospel, but use words if necessary. What are you saying, Pastor? Our actions to connect to somebody, to say, look, I don't know why I'm here, but all I can do is tell you about Jesus. All I can do is preach Jesus. All I can do is share the message of the gospel with you. And then he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Are you ready for revival? Are you ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Gentile? Are you ready for nets full, so full that we can't contain them and have to call for bigger boats? I am. I am. How does that happen? When you hear his voice, respond. Obedience brings response. And when we obey and we activate, I mean, you know, we are the kingdom of God. We are his hands and his feet in the earth. If people want to see Jesus, they're going to see it through us. Community outreach, those who hear of the gospel and their lives are changed. Stand with me this morning. believe that starts first of all with us. Then it starts in our house. And then it starts in our community. And then it starts in our world. Amen. Amen. The best and strongest foundation, the greatest work you will ever do for the kingdom, starts with inside the walls of your own house. Amen. Regardless of what it has looked like up to this point, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. I believe we make declarations as Christians and say, speak through me, Lord. Let me be your hands and your feet. Let me be an instrument of your grace. Let me be an instrument of your healing. Hallelujah. Let me be an instrument of your peace. And help us, Lord, to have a hunger and a passion for you. Help us to have a desire for our community, Lord. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here that needs special prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you for salvation, for healing, for whatever it is that you need. We are here. We want to pray with you as Beth sings. You're welcome to come to the altars.